Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, welcome to Basic Gospel. We are so glad you are here today to talk about the Lord Jesus, talk about the grace of God. Andrew Farley is with us. Andrew, welcome as always.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time talking today about Jesus Christ and the fact that we as believers in Christ actually know him. We just don't know about him. We have an intimate knowledge of who he is. And Andrew, I've said many times, I think that's our greatest asset as individual believers in Christ. It's also our greatest asset as far as the body of Christ is concerned. We have been given the knowledge of God. It's been deposited into us by the very Spirit of God. And we see this in this new covenant in which we live in as believers in Christ. And the writer of Hebrews tells us about that, starting in chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one of his neighbor and each one of his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. But it's this third promise that I really want us to focus on today, Andrew, the fact that we all know the Lord, from the least of us to the greatest. There's no hierarchy as far as the body of Christ is concerned. We've all been given the same knowledge of Jesus. We all have this personal information, this personal relationship with him, and that's just a beautiful reality, isn't it?
Yes, and it is intuitive. We have this intuition now, a spiritual intuition. I mean, we have the mind of Christ. Paul tells the Corinthians that. Colossians 1 says that we're ever increasing in the knowledge of God. So there's this beautiful thing of we know him, and yet we're also getting to know how amazing he is. We never get to the bottom of it. We never finish. We'll spend eternity fathoming the depths of his character and his goodness and his grace. 2 Peter says this, that grace and peace will be multiplied to us in the knowledge of God. So that's what we can expect. And I do believe this is our greatest asset. It's the presence of God, but then knowing what that presence is going to do. Who is he? What is he like? What is he up to? What kind of person is he? I could know that Christ lives in me, but I still might not trust him. I could know that God's Spirit dwells in me, but I may have some pretty messed up views about what God's Spirit is doing. And so I have to fall back on the mind of Christ. I have been given the knowledge of God, and yet I'm learning and I'm growing. And the expectation, Bob, is that as you get to know how good God really is, well, you're going to have grace and peace multiplied to you as you are ever increasing in the knowledge of his character.
Yes, indeed, Andrew, and love the fact you're talking about our greatest asset. You know, when Paul spoke to the philosophers in Athens, they had many, you know, many idols there, and then in the middle was an inscription at an altar that said to the unknown God. And yes, Paul said, well, I'm here to make him known unto you. We see John talking about this in his first letter. He says, anyone who does not love, here's the reason. It's because they do not know God. They don't know that he is love. Well, that's the information that we have. And it's not just factual information. It is heart information. It is reality. We know that from reality. And so when we think about our place in this world and the opportunities that we have that God is putting before us, it all ties to the fact that He's going to put us in places where we can impart our knowledge of God to others who do not know God. We can actually say to them with confidence and with a genuineness of heart that God truly is love. And the reason I know it is because I've experienced that love. I have experienced His grace. I've experienced the fact that God is merciful and forgiving in every single way. And we have this great opportunity to sit down face to face with somebody and say, let me tell you about the God I know in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I am functioning the way I was designed to function. I have the knowledge of the Creator, and I, as the creation, am now functioning within my design. I am doing the very thing that I was created to do, and that is contain and transmit the life of Jesus Christ. And that's what it was about from the beginning. That's the life that was lost in the garden, and that's the life that, and the knowledge of God that is retained or regained in the resurrection. As we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, that saving is not just a ticket to heaven, it's the knowledge of God. It's not just a ticket to heaven, it's the presence of the divine living in us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's incredible to think about.
Yes, it is. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is with us. We're glad you're tuned in as well, and we would love to hear from you. The number to call if you would like to weigh in on our topic today, or if you would like to ask a question about a particular Bible passage, or maybe a problem situation in your life, the phone lines are open for you at 844-322-2742. It's toll-free here in the United States and Canada. So take advantage of this great opportunity to ask your question on Basic Gospel today. Again, 844-322-2742. Andrew, our resource this month is my book, Love Is. It is an in-depth look at the love of Jesus Christ as expressed in 1 Corinthians 13. But it is the knowledge of God. We understand that God is love. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? How does He express that to us? Well, that's what this book is all about. And when you've received that love of God, then you have something that you can pass on to others. So we want to put this great resource into your hands. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And certainly we need your support this month as we close our books on our fiscal year 2021. So come join the Basic Gospel team. Be a part of what God is doing through this broadcast. And when you make your gift, be sure and request your copy of Love Is. We'll get it to you as quickly as possible. Again, our number, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and dial that number right now. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Well, Andrew, we've got some calls that are coming in right now, so let's start in San Mateo, California, with Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hey, how are you doing? I love you guys. I love your Basic Gospel, Andrew Farley, and Growing in Grace. You guys are awesome. You really contribute to the grace message. I appreciate that. I want to ask you, you can hear me okay, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I want to ask you, I've been having discussions with a pastor in Bible studies, and I guess they believe some sort of Calvinism or something where you don't have free will. And the subject came up, well, whether or not, because we have to please God as a new covenant believer, or whether we want to please God. I believe that God works in you to will and to do what pleases Him, to want to please Him. That I believe that as you delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you the desires of your heart. He actually gives you new desires. So I believe it is a want to, it's not a have to. He asked me about a scripture we were talking about. He asked about the scripture that says that, can't think. It's a scripture that says that we're saved unto redemption. It says we're sealed by whom we were sealed until the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
By whom you're sealed until that day of redemption. And he asked, is that a commandment? Is that a commandment? The term, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Is that a commandment?
Yeah.
And I said, I see it as a promise, mm-hmm. because he says, by whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. And he says, but is it a commandment, that first part? And I says,
okay.
No, I see it as I see it more as motivation. I see it as inspiration. I believe what the scripture says about, like, where it says that about giving. He says he doesn't want you to give out of compulsion,
right.
Out of necessity, because you have to. He wants a cheerful giver. I believe God wants your heart behind what you do,
okay.
more than what you do.
Let me jump in and just say, I understand this sort of back and forth that you're having with this gentleman, and I think he's pressing you. He is saying, is this a command? Is this a command? In order to get you to say yes or no, so that then you appear to fall on one side or the other. And then he would say, well, now if you don't call this a command, then are you discrediting the instruction of the Lord? And I would say, first of all, we have to clear up, what do we mean by command? I mean, it's not a command in the law. It's not an Old Testament commandment where there's, sometimes punishment by death. It's not that you're under a law system here, but my goodness, when we look at Ephesians and Galatians and Philippians, there's plenty of instruction in the New Testament. And so when we look at Ephesians 4:30 and he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, that is Paul's instruction to the Ephesian church, and that is God's instruction to us. Don't put yourself in a place where the Holy Spirit needs to be deeply concerned over what you're doing, because you're not made for that. You're not made for sin. You're not made for walking after the flesh. So I think we can address your first question, which is Philippians 2. I mean, does God work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure? Of course. God is inspiring us and motivating us. We have new hearts and new desires. We have his commands written on the lining of our hearts. It's definitely, the Christian life is a want to. It is not a have to or else. You know, it's not that God's going to get you. But you can be forgiven and free from the law and yet totally miserable. I mean, I know Christians who are forgiven but miserable because they know that they're under the grace of God, but they are still choosing unwise things. So when we come to Ephesians 4:30, this is not about getting saved or staying saved or making sure that God likes you or anything remotely like that. But it is saying, hey, this is the best way to live. This is the healthy way forward. This is good food that you can eat. This is the instruction of the Lord. And so I think you can consider going back to this friend of yours and saying, look, I recognize there are dozens, if not hundreds, ultimately, of behavior verses, attitude and action passages in the New Testament, and that's the Lord's instruction. But it's not legalism, and it's not law, because that's what God has written on my heart anyway. So it's a both and. I can look at the instruction on the page, and I can say, you know what? God's not asking me to do something that I'm not made for. He made me for this. He gave me a new heart that wants this. So in this case, my friend, I think you might try building a bridge by emphasizing your new heart, your obedient heart, and then saying, and those instruction passages, they are a perfect fit for the perfect new heart I've been given. Does that help?
Yes, it does. You know, that's pretty much what I'm saying. I mean, because I used to be a convict, a drug addict, and for 15 years I've been to 4 different prisons. And the Lord transformed my heart from the inside out. And it wasn't because of rules I had to keep. It was because I started to delight myself in the Lord, and he literally gave me new desires.
Yes.
You know, the last scripture I used for him, let me just share this one last scripture. Mm-hmm. It's 1 John chapter 3. Verse 22 and 23, it says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, verse 23, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment, where he said to love one another as I have loved you. He gave a new commandment. He said, love one another as I have loved you. So I told him, it looks to me like we're supposed to believe the commandment. He says, this is the commandment.
Right.
We are to believe and receive the love that he has for us and then pass it on.
Okay, yes, yes. So what we do then, see, what we do is you just read the foundation for all of it. We read Ephesians 4, and he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but back up one verse, and we find out, all right, what grieves the Holy Spirit? Well, apparently, when there's unwholesome talk and we're not building up other people, in other words, we're not loving other people. So I could preach Ephesians 4 as legalism. Get out there and love everybody. Get out there and build everybody up. Get out there and get busy. Or I could pop over to 1 John, which you, my friend, were quoting so well, and basically take this and put a foundation under it and say, look what's written on your heart. The love of God is written on your heart. Therefore, don't grieve the Spirit. Therefore, build people up. And so it's a case of both and. We never want to take away from the instruction and the counsel of God, but we do want to bolster it and motivate it and inspire it by the presence of his life in us. Then it's never legalism that way.
Amen. And I want to give a plug for your books. I've got all your books. The Perfect You I just got, your the Twisted Scripture, the God Without Religion, the Naked Gospel. I got them all on Kindle. I read them over and over. You're a blessing. You all are. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Henry. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate that. That opens up a line at 844-322-2742. Go ahead and dial that number right now. In the meantime, let's go to Texas and talk with Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Pat. How y'all doing? Oh, hey, Pat. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, Pat.
I love your show. I just have a simple question. It's kind of based on what the last caller was talking about. So I guess in a nutshell, so how do you share that you are a new creation and you want to tell others about the changes you went through without sounding too technical and confusing them? That seems to be my problem. When I want to share what I went through and the changes the Lord has made in my life, I get a little bit too technical, and you can see the light just kind of go off.
Yeah, I hear you. It's information overload. It's like we're trying to get them to drink from a fire hose. And I know what you mean. I think, first of all, you could speak from the heart and just over time learn to share a tidbit. So, sharing one or two sentences is different than trying to give a little sermon on the spot. And then the other thing I would say, I mean, we were just talking about Bob Christopher's book, Love Is. A caller just mentioned the books that I have. Those are things that we've created for people to just say, you know what? This book really helped me. This book really encouraged me. I want to share this with you, and let me know what you think. And end of story. Then there's no need for a sermon. There's no need to get everything perfect in the way that you speak or express yourself. So sometimes I think the Lord is leading us to just share a tidbit, and that way it's not overwhelming for the listener. And then other times we might find it very practical to hand out a resource and just say, you know, I think this could really encourage you. It meant a lot to me. And then you don't have to feel like you're preaching, and you don't have to feel like you're saying it just right or need to. You can relax and be yourself and, share little bits. I think that over the years I've learned that one little insight that gets someone thinking, man, that is a lot better than a long treatise that holds them until they're exhausted. So that's my two cents, my friend.
Yeah, and here's what I would say on that as well, Pat. We get to be storytellers, not just giving out facts and information. So you have a story, and your story is that at some point you were scared out of your mind, or you were fearful, or you were living in shame, or you had a mountain of guilt on top of your shoulders. Those are things that are a part of your story, and people can identify with your story. And you say, "Well, gosh, I feel that. How did you overcome it?" And so now you can engage them in their story, and that's powerful. That is very powerful, and that's not technical information. That's not the mechanics of salvation. That's not how God is doing things. That's just simply you telling your story and how God became a part of it through Jesus Christ, how he really, invited you to be a part of his story through the gospel. So don't be shy and kind of telling what really has gone on inside of you, those negative things, and how God gave you an answer.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds good. It's better than what I've been doing.
Well, and I think that's where these books can be really helpful. I know, Andrew, in every book that you've written, and folks, if you haven't read Andrew's books, you need to do so. They're really good. But you're always telling bits and pieces of your story, or stories of other folks that you've encountered along your journey, and yes, those are points of identification, aren't they?
Yes, we got to put some flesh on the message. And when people just hear theology, they do tune out. When they hear facts and figures, they think, well, this guy's a technical expert, and great for him, but not so great for me. And then when they hear about someone who suffered from depression, when they hear about someone who struggled with self-image, when they resonate with someone who's had issues in parenting, or growing up they were abused or whatever, we start building connections with people based on experiences, and then they are really drawn in, and that's a beautiful opportunity to share how Christ intersects with that pain and intersects with those problems. And nobody can take your testimony, nobody can take your story away and say that didn't happen to you. Well, it did happen, and you are sharing it, and you are excited. So that's the beauty of telling your story, and I think there's a great deal of wisdom in that.
Well, Pat, we sure appreciate that call, and appreciate your heart to want to share the good news with people in your life. That's encouraging.
And I really appreciate you guys, and I really enjoy the show, and thank you. Y'all have a blessed day.
Well, we sure will, Pat. Thank you. Well, Andrew, let's quickly go to this call. Well, we can't get to it, but it is a call on a question on Hebrews 6. 4-6. What is that passage saying? It's difficult. Is it teaching us that we can lose our salvation, or does the writer of Hebrews have something else in mind?
Well, he's talking about people who've only tasted the gift. They have only tasted the goodness of God's word. They haven't swallowed it. They haven't taken it in unto salvation. And here's the warning for them. Hey, Hebrews, don't just flirt with the gospel. Make sure you invest in it, because there's an incredible return on it. There's forgiveness. There's new life. There's knowledge of God and relationship with him. So make sure that you've not just tasted, but actually invested in Jesus. He's worth it.
Yes, he is. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's an honor that you allow us into your lives on a day-to-day basis. We're honored that you're a part of ours as well, that we can grow in the love of and grace of Jesus Christ together as we go into the Word of God and have the Spirit of God teach us truth that will set us free. Andrew, always so glad to have you on the program with us. Thanks for being here today, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
And for those who are interested in resources that can help you, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is my book entitled Love Is. It takes a look at exactly how God loves us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. It will absolutely change your life, change your relationship with the Lord, and change your relationship with others. We want to put it in your hands. It's available at basicgospel.net. Just follow all the instructions there, and we'll get it on its way. So long. We'll see you tomorrow.